Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you'll be all right, even when times get hard, and you feel like you're in the dark. You will see just how beautiful life can be. When you soften your heart, you can finally start to live your truthiest life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Truthiest Life. It's your host, Lisa Haim, and I'm pretty excited to be on the mic and touch base with all of you. I've been on social break for, I don't know, like, I think it's 3 weeks. I keep saying that I don't know, like, where I am in space and time. The fact that it is April right now is just overwhelmingly to my brain. You know, a lot has happened in the past year for me personally. I know a lot of you are familiar, but just to kind of like recap the events of just 6 months, I had an ectopic pregnancy, so that was a loss, followed by my daughter getting sick, a hospitalization, a couple of months of waiting and recovering from that, and then another sickness and hospitalization. So I'm coming out of the other side of that, and there's a lot there. I've mentioned it in this podcast, and I don't want to be overkill by any means, but I also don't want to not give you some insight as to like what I'm going through, but more importantly, like pretend that I'm fine. We don't need more people pretending they're fine. We need, I think, more people showing up when they're kind of not fine, as long as they have a limited capacity to do so, which in this moment I do. But it has been a lot of taking care of myself and my home, and she's doing amazing. That's the question I get the most and I'm happiest to answer, which is Soli is really doing phenomenal. We do have a lot of question marks left over and a lot of follow-up doctor's appointments. And so my life has been kind of truncated by that, taking care of myself and preparing for the meet treat, which we planned months ago and is coming at actually a really perfect time. If you're unfamiliar, back in August of 2022, I took myself on my own retreat by myself, scheduled a bunch of different healing modalities and time where I could step away from my responsibilities and dive inward to figure out like who the heck am I now after all of the life changes that I've gone through. It was incredible, and I felt called to create this for other people, as well as got a lot of demand for, oh, how can I create my own meet treat? And I was like, you know what? I'm feeling really called to do a retreat this year. So it is called the meet treat. It's in Guatemala. We have 20 participants going down to Guatemala for a couple of days. And within these couple of days, we are doing a lot of yoga, somatic yoga, leaning into our bodies, spirituality, journaling, meditation, breath work, sound baths, connecting with each other. One of the biggest concerns that people had was going on a retreat that they found out from the internet and not knowing anybody else there and being really afraid of, like, who are these people? So one of the things that we did, which has been super anchoring for me as well, is we had a WhatsApp group. We have a WhatsApp group, and the WhatsApp group has been incredible in sharing different parts of ourselves over the last few months. I'll often jump in with a prompt where people just share really honestly what's going on, or somebody else just might chime in and say something really positive or something honest. And it's pretty incredible because none of us have met before, and yet we are walking into this trip with some sort of a solid foundation of a friendship. And I'm really excited for this to come to fruition in a little under 2 weeks now. And I am a host and a healer on it. I will be providing some of the services, but I'm also going to be sitting back to enjoy the magic of the other activities that are going to be going on that I'm not myself leading. I will be teaching a little bit of yoga, but I really wanted to like bring the magic of who I go to when things get stormy. And so I'm bringing one of my favorite yoga teachers, Tracy Toomey McQuaid. She teaches at Yoga Shanti, which you can stream. And Tracy is magical. She has a voice of an angel. She plays this harmonium, and she has a way of just seeing such profound things that when you walk away from the mat, like something just shifts in your life and makes a little bit more sense now than it did before. I'm also bringing, when I went on my own retreat, I went to Florida because my best friend and her wife were living there, staying there, I should say. They live in London. And these two women are incredible mirrors, reflectors in my life. They're always helping me get through hard stuff by really just showing up as mirrors, helping me see myself more clearly. And I was afraid that being with them would take away from my carved out alone time, but it actually did the opposite. I was able to dive more deeply into myself by having them there to help me prompt myself, ask furthering, deepening questions. And what I learned from that is that a retreat does not need to be done alone. And what these women will shortly find out, if they haven't already, is that by having people around, we actually engage in conversations which take us more deeply into ourselves. And so Jerry's my best friend, who will not be able to come, but her wife Lulu is coming. She's going to be one of the hosts. So I'm just like so excited to bring these group of women that trust me immensely into a healing safe space and bring with me some human energies that are some of the best that I know. And when I say best that I know, I don't just mean like overwhelming happiness. I mean people that, yes, they are the cheerleaders. They're going to be the first ones wake and shaking when we do that every morning. But they are just people that also know how to help you get through heavy things and will be real with you. Kind of like big sisters type of a feeling. And I'm just really, really excited to go. It definitely comes with fears as well. But I do trust that things are in place at home. And I am feeling secure to go on this journey for all the people that put trust in me and also for myself. So today on Lisa Lately, it's a little bit different of a Lisa Lately. I'm not going to cover four distinct topics. Instead, I wanted to talk a little bit about happiness. As I've been on social media break, I always kind of find interesting things that inspire me that otherwise, with the use of social media regularly in my life, I might see, not have time to fully explore, or if I fully explore it, I might not give it the full brain attention and power that I do when I go offline. I always find when I go offline, like everything around me becomes more brighter, louder, stronger. Like my voice of myself becomes louder. Looking outside the window, I see colors that I've never seen before. Everything that is already there becomes amplified. And it is just a beautiful reminder to take breaks from your phone and look up. My daughter is my inspiration for that. Obviously, she doesn't have a phone. And watching her take in the world and be so excited by seeing water drip off of a leaf, it's so not a little thing to give attention to what's around us and to one thing, to not multitask. You know, I know that there are a lot of podcasts right now, and in the wellness and health industry, giving us more information about things that we can do to be more efficient, to get more of our tasks done, to build on good habits and stack them and all of that. And not to say there's not something positive within those seeds of all the words that I just said, but there's something about not being efficient. There's something about not stacking your habits so that you got everything done in a day. And instead, just like being with a moment. And I recognize that everything that I say is a privilege to be able to do in our society, especially a capitalistic society, where time is money and money is how you stay safe and well. Like this, everything I say comes with a huge asterisk to also involve privilege, which exists, but is sad that you need privilege to like have a moment to appreciate and soak in or read and digest things. That was a lot in a sentence, but I just wanted to go there. That's where my brain went and I followed it. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about happiness today because I read this article that talked about the experts who study happiness. And it's a very short article. It's on Time. You can even Google it or I'll put it below, which is called The Daily Habits of Happiness Experts. And I think the word happy is very subjective too. So take everything that I say with a grain of salt. But as I read this article, I felt like I was really like on the right track of living in this moment, a happy quote unquote life. That again, that word just feels really wrong. I think I kind of want to change it for what I experience, which is like moments of contentment, being really okay in boredom. I even crave boredom right now and find it to be so fulfilling. I think fulfilling is also a good word here when it comes to happiness. I guess I keep extracting the word happiness out of this because when we learn to be happy, we think of a smile. And to me, that's not really what like happiness necessarily is. Maybe on the outside, that's might be what it looks like sometimes. But it's more of a feeling and sensations in a body or absence of sensations in a body, right? Like anxiety can steal happiness from us and anxiety can make us feel very buzzy and clenched. And that can impact how we physically feel in our body, either chronically or acutely. So recently, finding home in my body again has been something that I'm very closely working with. The last hospital visit was very different than the first hospital visit. The first hospital visit, I didn't know what to expect. And it was like Jack in the Box. Like my nervous system was like Jack in the Box. Like all of me popped out and stayed out. And then when we left the hospital, I kind of put that lid back, the Jack back in the box and closed it up and work to kind of settle, hoping that Jack would never kind of like pop up again and, you know, scare me and be in that situation again. But when I was put back into that situation, there was a part of me that knew what to expect from a hospital visit. And as a result, put on a shield. I wrapped a shield around myself because I knew that I was going to have to put my daughter through painful, difficult things. I knew that I had to consent on her behalf and, you know, holding a baby's wrist to get blood work, you know, just anything like that is just so terrible when you don't know what it is, you know, from her point of view. You don't know it's for your betterment or you're taking care of. It truly feels like torture for her. But emotionally, I had to shield myself of that because I knew I had to be strong for her and get us through that. And coming home from that now it was like taking off this shield. Like you can't be hard anymore. You have to, or you shouldn't be hard anymore. I don't want to walk around with a shield of we need to march on. You know, I wanted to take that back off and reconnect with compassion and empathy and all of that. So like, I know that I'm sharing a little bit of my own life through this, but I want you to also get a taste of like, I think why this article spoke to me so much and also what my body, brain, and nervous system are going through so that if and when you're ever in this situation, which in some point of your life, like something, you're going to have a Jack in the Box moment, right? And or maybe two or three, that maybe you know a little bit like what to expect, how to make space for yourself and know that it's very quote unquote normal to struggle with all sorts of things, whether that's insomnia or sleeping more. Like I said earlier on, like I'm really struggling with a sense of disorientation with time. Like I don't know where in time I am. And it's not just like, oh, it's April and I blinked. Like it's truly in my mind, I'm struggling with blocks of time and what I'm doing to ground and know where I am in space and time and mark all of that is really, really important. And I think it has played a role in my quote unquote happiness. Again, wrong word, but what that feeling of safety within myself that I'm looking for.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, in this article, the first question that they tackled is happiness a choice? And it says, it concludes, and I agree, that half yes and half no. You know, first of all, the half no is going to be situational, related to mental health variables that may or may not be within your own control. And there is a big box that is like a hard no. It's not just like, we can all be happy if we just put our minds to it. It's way more complex than that. But the other half of that is half yes. And again, a million times I'll say this, it's not like the word happiness fits perfectly for me on this article, but there is a part of self that we can work on to feel what we're all in pursuit of, whether that's safety, connection, contentment, feeling just I am okay in this moment. So whatever word that is for you, peacefulness, you know, just think about what we're all in pursuit of, because I think this article still provides really nice building blocks of what we can include in our lives to achieve that on an intermittent basis. I say intermittent because even as we find moments of safety, contentment, peacefulness, happiness, that is not a paved road ahead. There are pebbles, there are twists and turns and potholes and all the things as we go down this road. But some of the building blocks that they discuss, and I want to kind of get like a little bit more deeply into all of them, is social relationships, sleep, hobbies, spending time in nature, exercise / playing sports, praying, engaging with a support group therapist, and spending time with family outside of the household. So I want to get back to those in just a moment to break them down a little bit more as to how accidentally impactful these things have been for me in making me feel okay during an unokay time for self. But ultimately, there are two things about happiness that I think that we should know that we don't, or we forget, or we become disconnected with when we find ourselves deeply unhappy, whether that's depressed or just like not happy. And number one is that happiness we feel, according to the article, depends on the control that we feel. And I love that because I think a lot of time when shit hits the fan, it is when we lose control of things. A lot of our happiness goes out the door. For myself, my daughter getting sick was a huge lack of control that I lost. When we lose people in our lives, that is a huge loss of control. When something's going on with our health, whether we are sick or we don't know what we have, or like those are all feelings of loss of control. And when we feel that way, a lot of the happiness goes out of the door because a lot of the stability and ground that we walk beneath that feels safe and unshaky gets pulled out from under us. And so in those moments where we do lose control, because we don't really ever have control, we sometimes feel like we do, I think it's helpful to bring that reminder to us that it feels okay to not feel happy right now because I feel out of control about this, because I am out of control about this. And just like having that wrapped up in a bow in some way, if we can bring that to the moments, the hard moments, I think we can kind of have one of those hand-to-heart moments where we breathe a little bit more deeply into what is, and suddenly we gain a little bit more comfort with not having control, realizing that any control that we sometimes have is maybe an illusion, and that it's normal to feel this way when that perceived control is taken from us. That was really helpful for me to read, remember, and kind of hold on to. The other thing about happiness that we should know but we don't, or we forget, is that happiness is actually about being true to ourselves and allowing emotions to come up. Again, I think we think of happiness as just a smiley face and this outward projection of happiness. But interestingly enough, my yoga mat, going to other people's classes, has been incredibly healing for me to unpack my emotions as they come up. And I'm really proud of myself because I realized in class one day as I was crying for like the 100th time that the difference between me now and young Lisa, well, young Lisa didn't have any tools, but without any of the tools, like any of my emotions just got buried and tucked away and hidden in my body somewhere. Whereas emotions, as they are coming in and experiences are coming in, I revisit them a lot, even though they're painful. But with that, I am folding them up and storing them into my body somewhere where I know where they are, or I'm releasing them back into the universe in a way that says I don't need to hold on to this anymore. And I thought this was really interesting because, like I said, I've been crying a lot in yoga, and it's not necessarily like the yoga. It's the stillness. It's the safe place that I go to. And it's like allowing a place where I get to go to unravel. It's not like Downward Dog does it. It could be any specific pose. And I share that because if you don't do yoga, it doesn't mean that this isn't inaccessible to you, but it is hard to find a place where you feel safe enough to unravel. But it's been really beautiful because as I keep showing up to yoga, my safe place, and the tears are streaming down my face at any moment in any pose, I don't feel sad. Like I look sad, right? Because again, we have these ideas that crying is sad and smiley face is happy. You know, I have that look on my face and body of somebody who's hysterically crying, shaking a little bit, but I don't feel sadness in those moments. I feel pain to a degree, But it feels much more of a relief and a release, which I guess is really, you know, no surprise. Everything we do is on purpose, including crying. But when you are crying and you are actively allowing yourself to feel an emotion, not stifle it because you're in public or because crying makes you weak, like, it is a very different experience to have. And so when I keep returning back, I don't show up with, why am I still crying? Why am I not over it yet? Like, it's just a very different way to approach all the emotions, which I believe is allowing me to feel more peace on the other side. I also mention the word shaking when I do this, because when you cry, you shake. And as many of you know, I am passionate about wake and shake, where you get up and you shake your body. But if we really do look at the animal world, and it's something I continue to study even more and more, because we are animals. We, you know, talk and we do all these things, but we are animals at the end of the day, I believe. Even though we're humans, we're just a form of an animal here. But when we look at animals, they don't live within our social rules and society that we have set up. And so everything that they do is for such a primal reason, for their biological survivalship, for them, for their biology, to stay alive, to stay well. And shaking without intention, like, their bodies actually go into a shaking modality a lot of the time to release energy. A lot of the times it will be after an animal goes into kind of more of a catatonic state. It stems from, like, if an animal is chasing them, they kind of like play dead for a while. And I don't know if they're really playing dead, but their brains really shift into a place where they just like deeply rest, where you would think that they're dead. And then once they're no longer in danger, they wake up and they shake the energy off. And they're not like reading books on how to stay well and release energy. They are just doing it. So when I shake, you know, I'm not scared of it. It's really like, wow, my body knows what to do, and breaking free of the confines of like, this is embarrassing, I don't want somebody to see me, like, I need to go grab a box of tissues, like, just like letting it all just be like snotty and what it is so freeing, because it is what we are meant to do. So I loved that reminder that happiness is about being true to self and allowing emotions to come up. Happiness is not just marching on, putting a smiley face on your face, putting a big smile on your face, laughing, all of that. I mean, laughter is, of course, important, but key ingredients here to happiness go beyond the obvious laughter and all of that. So that just spoke very deeply to me as I'm kind of on my journey of re-putting back the pieces of contentment into my life.
Podcast update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So going back to those building blocks, the first one is social relationships, friendship partners, and belonging to a community outside of the work setting. I think we're all tired of like talking about the pandemic, but I think that there's so much to talk about the side effects of the pandemic that we've all lived through, you know, and I think that that looked different depending on where you live and where you live during the time of the last 3 years. But for me, there was a major impact unknowingly on my mental health by way of loss of seeing human beings. I maintained friendships over, you know, text messages, but having a pregnancy during like what felt like I think maybe the height of COVID and then afterwards wanting to protect her. There was a long period of my life where I really didn't do a lot of the things that I socially used to do in person with other people. I think that there is so much to having a community outside of your work or home setting, whether that's girlfriends or within your community, that truly provides so, like, I don't even think there's an English word for what social relationships do for our heart, soul, and feeling happy. And it doesn't always need to be like deep one. Like, I'm a person that when I have friendships, they are deep and they are like, you're my soul person and we know everything about each other and there's not a secret to my name and there's not an emotion you don't know and, you know, things like that. But what I have found in the last couple of months is that walking in my town, seeing familiar faces, going to the same yoga studio, not even knowing people's names, but just like bodies that I familiarize with. These are really important pillars to my day to day. And it's being part of a community that feels really, really good. Okay. Getting 7 or more hours of sleep, another building block. Sleep is incredibly important because it is going to affect everything from mood to choosing what we eat, which then goes back to mood and choose and how well we sleep. Like all these things play into each other. But I truly believe that sleep is the most important thing, and yet it is the thing that we do the least well of. It's not prioritized. And I've been saying this, you know, for years. I remember when I got into the online wellness world, everybody was always talking about like their morning routine. That was like the hot thing on Instagram like a couple of years ago. And I'm like, I don't have a freaking morning routine because you need to have a good night routine in order to have a morning routine. And at the time, my deepest struggle was with sleep. And sleep will always or still is a problem of mine, but it's one I've worked on so much and so intimately with to improve after a lifetime of insomnia and sleep anxiety and all these things. But as somebody who doesn't just pass out on the couch, like I've never ever passed out on the couch or not in a very long time at least, I don't just pass out in bed. Like as somebody that really, really, really understands sleep difficulties, I can tell you that when I prioritize good sleep and bedtime habits and I get quality sleep, the next day is infinitely different. The world looks like it's just like looking through life from a different lens. And at the same time, it's really hard to get 7 or more hours of sleep, especially my new moms out there that are breastfeeding or just not sleeping because their babies aren't sleeping. There are plenty of reasons and seasons of life when this just simply isn't going to happen. And I think it's important to recognize like why you feel crappy the next day, not necessarily that you should get more sleep if you can't, but get some insight as to what is affecting how you feel. And maybe that means making some changes if you can, or maybe it means being more compassionate about with yourself about why you feel so cranky the next day. Next is a hobby, the building block of getting a personal hobby. And in this article, they include cooking, writing, music, reading. And I found this one to be so illuminating for me because in the past year, I've finally finally leaned into hobbies. So, you know, you guys know that I have been learning how to sew again, something that I used to know how to do on my sewing machine. And it's something that I prioritized this year to refine myself. And with that has come so much contentment. And again, I am very aware that like this is a privileged thing to say and do, because who has time for hobbies when you need to pay the bills and all the things that we do. But I also argue that a lot of the people that say they don't have time might have time squashed in other areas. Some might really not have time, and it's just like privilege to have the hobbies, and they can't do that right now. But if you can do something, not for money, but for self, whatever, whether that's reading, sewing, it's just something that's like just so for you, not selling it, not doing anything. It just feels so good to have that hobby. And again, I think that like even the wellness culture can be so cutthroat about everything that you're doing for wellness and the green juices and the supplements. And again, you guys know I love a green juice, and my supplements are pretty a huge staple for me in staying well. But that doesn't mean that there's not room for flow and undoings, time where you're not doing any of the things and you're letting your mind wander as you partake in something just for pleasure. It's pretty wonderful. Next is spending time in nature. I think we all know that we feel infinitely better when we spend time in nature, but a lot of us don't have access to that year round or in general, whether we live in cities or different climates. But again, I think it's important to recognize like how big of an impact nature has on our well-being and mood, whether it means simply looking outside your window, which I'm doing right now, and taking in all the trees that have like suddenly bloomed, and seeing the metaphor of life to how fast change happens and how it's really always happening, but we don't realize. There's just so much in nature that helps us breathe more deeply and more connected to ourselves. Walks in nature and doing anything with our physical bodies, I think that really, you know, some of my best ideas have happened in nature. My most creative moments are there. And there's something really nice about getting out of our shelters or our homes. We're not supposed to be living and working indoors all day. That is truly huge for us. Exercise / playing sports. I'm going to just call this like moving your body in a way that feels good for you. And I'm going to kind of like go back to all of these in a second, because I think they all deserve like something really important to say about them as a whole. And then praying. And I know that this one comes with a huge asterisk, so I'll revisit it in just a moment. And then they say another building block is engaging with support groups or therapists. And can't say enough how great it is to I think group therapy is wonderful, although in my experience, hard to find, like have a place where you can discuss with others and use them as your mirrors, or to feel less alone, or having a therapist, like one carved out time where you can just spill it out without apologizing. And especially if your life is super busy, to have that 1 hour carved out, maybe you don't do yoga where I like continuously unpack my stuff, but with your therapist, you get 1 hour to just like lay it all out there. And then the last building block is spending time with family outside of the household. So when I look at all of these, it's like, no wonder there is so much sickness, so much unwellness in our world. You know, the first one, social relationships, building community outside of our work setting. Most of us by the pandemic have been really hindered by doing so. And we feel fearful even being in groups. A lot of us have carried some of that fear around with us. And that is totally normal, but it's important to recognize how our social relationships have been deeply impacted by the pandemic. On top of just like the lives that we live, which are so much more on our computers and phones and not around other people. Sleep. Most people truly cannot get 7 hours of sleep, whether they have work obligations to do or household chores, whatever that is. It is really hard to get that sleep and that sleep quality. Personal hobby I kind of talked about here is really a huge privilege. And I recognize that, although I'm pushing for anybody who can to get more hobby time in. But for the majority of our country, like having a hobby is probably not accessible. Spending time in nature, same thing, like having that off time to just like roam and be or travel, not very accessible to everybody. And also a lot of us that live over here in the Northeast If you're like me, having access to it certain times of year, there is a huge difference in my mood spring, summer to fall, winter. I know this about myself, and that is helpful to know, but it's really there. Exercise/play sports is what they call that. And I think that like these are the happiness experts, and failing to realize how both of those word choices, exercise/play sports, might even be triggering to people, because exercise is so equated with weight and doing and metrics and how much did you walk today and how much did you burn today. And playing sports is largely inaccessible to adults, or if you're never good at sports, you hate sports or any of that. So I think like the language here is really needs to be spoken about so delicately when it comes to movement, because there's so much loaded into these words for different people that makes them think, oh, I don't want to do any of that. I hate exercise. I hate going to the gym. I hate soccer, right? But do you hate going for walks outside in nature? Do you hate rollerblading? Do you hate dancing? Like there's some sort of a movement that I believe feels good for everybody, but doesn't neatly fit into these boxes of exercise/playing sports. Praying. I felt like I really had to just leave it at praying when I listed it and then like revisit it here. So many people have complicated relationships to God or religion. And as I've gotten older, I've certainly explored my own, you know, religion. And while lots of facets don't really speak to me there, I think that a lot of people benefit from realizing that there's a higher power. That being said, if you don't right now, there might be a moment where you come to. There have been plenty of moments in my life where I come to and I get such a strong sign that there is a higher power and something beyond me, and praying, and it's not asking for anything. I think I've said this a lot on the podcast. Prayer to me is rarely asking for things, but more thankfulness, which then kind of brings us a little arrow to the right over here to really just talking about gratitude. Like if none of the religion, spirituality stuff speaks to you, there's always gratitude as a huge tenet of our happiness. So again, in this article, when they say praying, I think we can't just leave it at praying. We have to break down what is prayer, why is it good for us, and where does it stem from in a way that fits good in our life. So if everything relating to praying just feels wrong to you, how does gratitude feel for you? What are you grateful for? And how can you really expand that into your day to day? Because when we are truly grateful, it shifts the dimension that we're living within. I remember very vividly in a very early yoga class when I was starting my practice, probably 10, 12 years ago now, the practice of yoga opened up my heart in a way that had me feeling very grateful after, I don't know what went on in that yoga session or what the teacher said or anything like that, but I just felt so immensely grateful. And I was like, wow, this feels so different from my brain circuitry that is usually talking about what I lack or why things aren't fair. And nothing had changed about what I lacked or what wasn't fair, but yet I was like elevated into this other dimension by way of gratitude. And it was one of those like aha moments in my life that I'll never forget, because again, not that happiness is a choice, but there is a choice component to it that we can activate. Then engaging with support groups or therapists. I mean, most people don't have access to a therapist financially, don't know where to even begin with the process, have had bad experiences with therapists. And I think that there's also a lot of stigma when it comes to therapy, where people think that there has to be something wrong with them to go. There are so many roadblocks to developing a regular practice with a therapist or a form of therapy. And when I say therapy here, I mean talk therapy, that majority of people are going to see support group therapists and like just kind of just be like, well, that'll never be me. And I think that it can be all of us, hopefully, if you know insurance can come through for more people too, or through workplaces, therapy can be provided in a way that everybody has access to this, because it is the things that I'm dealing with, by the way, I know that I share them here and maybe it feels like I think that I'm the center of the universe, but it's truly not the case. I share what's going on with me because you guys come to hear with me and I share that. But I mean, what other people go through in this world, the magnitude of the pain that every person carries, I in no way think that I carry more of that. If anything, I think that these moments humble me in realizing that most people are walking around with so much pain, feelings of stuckness, lack of autonomy over their lives, whether they're in relationships that are abusive. And I feel like I've just been witness to a lot of these types of things lately. And It's why I bring up this topic today, not because me, but because of we. Like, all of us are going through something hard while also being okay/not okay. Or we will be there in a point of time, and we will have family there and friends there or acquaintances there. And re-going back to the building blocks of how can I feel a little bit more okay? I want them to be available. I want them to be reminders. And that doesn't mean that we go through all of these, right? Like, who has time for all of these and to get them all right now? But can we, you know, write in our gratitude journal a couple things that we're grateful for? Can we throw our bodies on the bath mat, not even a yoga mat, and just give ourselves time to express our emotions? Can we set up a dinner with our friends or go for a walk with a friend or walk out in nature and put our phone behind? Like, one of these things can and will make a huge difference in our lives for just a moment even. But that moment matters because, like I said, happiness is not a current, like a paved road and, oh, I'm happy right now. It's I'm happy and then I'm kind of sad and I'm happy and I'm kind of sad, because there is a lot of sadness around us, and pretending that it's not would be this false version of happiness that wouldn't suit any of us. So in sum, I think that, of course, we're going to have a happiness problem because there are deep problems in this world and in our lives and all around us. But there are also building blocks that we can put into place so that we can feel okay enough to live out our purpose and our authentic lives. So in sum, the article says that the perfect cocktail of happiness comes from a sense of control or autonomy over one's life, is guided by meaning and purpose, and connecting with others. And on that note, I feel extra excited to go on the meet treat, because that's exactly what all of us are going to get out of this. We're going to connect and refine or clarify our own purpose, and we're going to connect with others to get that. I certainly hope that I'll have the opportunity to lead more, if not like bigger, less destination-y, far destination-y meet-treat versions, because I think, well, I guess I will wait to see how the meet-treat goes before I say what I think, but I believe that there's incredible power in coming together as a community, unraveling to come back together, and showing parts of our hearts that we otherwise tuck away in a space that feels really safe to be. So I want to thank you for hanging in with this podcast with me and being here for a season of wonkyism for me, where a lot of the time I'm really all over the place. And yeah, being part of our family here at The Truthiest Life. I hope you all have a great week. I can't believe we're wrapping up April. That is absolutely mind-blowing. But May is a beautiful month. My husband is turning 40. We have a lot going on in this household, and I am leaning into all of the little things going on. So I will see you here back in May.
Every family has an origin story. One passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.